Blog Talk Radio.
This is Satchitananda with the Love Channel. I want to welcome you here tonight to join me in love and conversation. I just want to make it known tonight that I'm here for anyone that's out there in my perceptual reality that needs to talk, needs to release, needs to work through any kind of an issue that might be holding them back from their true sense of God that I believe we are. It's been a really interesting week. A lot is being revealed to me, through me, at me. A lot of people in my world that I know for a very long time that have been working on themselves in the path, on the path, have been coming to me, which usually happens when people are really lost. They tend to be around me. And I feel very strong at this point in my life. I really feel like I'm in my own energy, and I feel like I'm connected to the source, and I'm the one that always claims that everything outside of me is a mirror. So I know that I'm always here to teach myself, you know, what I need to, what I'm teaching is what I need to learn. Anyhow, but in this reality, in my dream that I'm in right now, people that I know that have been counselors for forever, it seems, or they've been working on self-inquiry, 12 steps maybe, addictions, inner child work, are starting to come to another level, I believe, and they're starting to go even deeper than they ever went before about revealing to themselves what's been hidden from themselves. And it's been happening like all week. And since I started the Course in Miracles again at my new place, it's interesting because as soon as I kind of put up that sign that says I'm back, the people that are in my periphery that need me show up. And they're not new people. They're people that I've known for a long time. Anyway, so what I'm seeing more and more is that people are coming up and really, in a naked sense, coming to me in true vulnerability and true desire to really heal those core issues. And it's all mommy-daddy issues, and it's just interesting. So with all this said and done, you know, me being the counselor that I've been and am and probably will be in my dream anyway forever, for eternity, recently I've been looking forward to the new book by Joseph Dispenza, Dr. Joseph Dispenza, that's called I Am the Placebo, and so I purchased it. And I purchased a little meditation tape that comes, which is very powerful. I didn't like the quality of the actual tape, the CD, but I did love what was being said. Anyway, so as soon as I got it, I looked it over and I sent it to my love, the one that I call the one, for him to, if he chooses to read or savor. And anyway, the energy about this and the concept of this is really about remembering that we are it, that I am is my experience, no matter what it is. And whatever energy that we're in, whatever sound that we're vibrating in is actually what we're using to bring life to our world. And that comes from my understanding anyway. And so this book really is like the Bruce Liptons and the scientists that are coming to awareness now that are here to validate what I've come to realize for a long time now. And so what I feel is occurring here for me, and I want to share tonight with anyone that's here to listen, whether it be now or through archive, is that we really are at a point, a stage of development and consciousness that now is the time to really walk the talk. You know, I've gone through the stages of evolution of consciousness, and I've healed the physical body of maladies and my circumstances of issues. And I'm at a point now that I'm as I share all the time, I'm still in the house with my dad, and my dad is aging right in front of my eyes. And, of course, I believe I'm ageless. I believe we're ageless, and we can choose again. I'm in a relationship vicariously with an aspect of me that I can't be with because the age isn't right, you know. And so all of these issues of age are coming up for me. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that in this perceptual reality, that's what's occurring. But I know in simultaneous realities, they are happening as if we are together, as if my father is young and will be forever, as if I am, my body's physically beautiful and young and ageless, and not that that matters really, but in my perceptual reality in this relative world that I'm living in, it seems to matter a lot, you know, and it's caused me a lot of pain because I can't understand me knowing what I've come to realize as far as the knowledge that's come through me, the highest, what I believe the highest understanding that anyone could attain in a lifetime, that you are it, that you can, in fact, change anything as you will it to be, that I can't heal my dad's distress and discomfort about aging, that I can't be in that perfect relationship with the one that I know is my heart's calling, you know. And so anyway, that said, I want to make it really clear in this moment for me out loud that I will to become that which I know I am, the true sense of all I am. And I feel that it's about to occur. I had a dream last night, which for me was the most horrifying awareness because it felt lucid. But I also felt that it was me going through a life review for endurance. And the dream was a bunch of vignettes about me being tortured mentally, physically, and emotionally. And through it all, I was the observer, but I was also a participant holding my own, you know. And I really felt that I had to go through that. It was almost like all day the headache, you know, I stayed in it. I stayed in the energy of perplexity, not understanding why I would again choose that reality for myself. But then I came to realize that it's because I'm coming to a place of knowing that it's time to let go of all that I believe was real, including the abuse of the child and the neglect and the harassment and whatever, because those dynamics still play a strong part in the dream that I call Ananda's life, you know? Anyway, so that being said, the first thing that came to me as I sat down tonight was a little book that I've read many a time, and it's called The Wonder Child by Emmett Fox. It first came through Emmett in 1932, and it's so funny because this is all what I've come to realize over the last 21 years, and also what the scientists are now coming to realize, you know, that we are truly one with the one, that we are the masters of our universe, which I say over and over again. But until we really become totally conscious in the moment and perpetually stay focused on our own dream, we will always be caught in realities that take us to where they are, or where that aspect resides, or where that mindset or belief system resides. And it will really keep us a prisoner to what was. You know, I know without a shadow of doubt that my mind is my world. There is no separation between what I think and feel and what I see and experience. And that there is nothing outside that I can bring inside me that will change anything, because I am just reverbing. I am just allowing myself in that moment to bring in that which I already am. And when I bring it in, I have a choice to stay in peace with it or choose again. And that choose again could be conflict or evolution and peace and healing, whatever. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that there is nothing outside of me but what I would have be there. So with that said, again, I'm going to keep restating this for myself. I intend from this moment on to be the God that I am, the goddess that I am. I'm doing a little group at my restaurant on Thursday nights called Awakening the Goddess. And it's for that purpose, because I really feel that the females in my world, more than anything that I've seen before, any other energies, male or younger people or older people, but the females in my age bracket are really coming into their own. And like I said, there's a lot of evolution of experience that's coming forth through them. Their childhoods are coming up, their pain and their suffering is being released finally. They're finally allowing themselves to come to grips with what they weren't given as children, weren't able to receive as lovers, and so on. So I'm really excited about that. So what I wanted to do is I figured I would just start opening this book and read a little bit from it, The Wonder Child, because I haven't read it for years, but it's in my face right now, so I think it's absolutely me talking to me. And it says, The Wonder Child, strange as it may seem to you, there exists a mystic power that is able to transform your life so thoroughly, so radically, so completely that when the process is completed, your own friend would hardly recognize you. And in fact, you would scarcely be able to recognize yourself. That's what's happened to me in the last 6 months. I'm not residing in the same town even, because I spend most of my time at work, which is in Stewart. It's not in where I live in Port St. Lucie. I'm in an environment with totally new people. I haven't never seen most of these people ever. So that's telling me that something in me, in my mind, in my energy, vibration, my song that I'm singing is different because my world is different. And yeah, I've driven past this town often in the last 25 years, but never to the extent that I am now. And the people that were in my life are no longer in my life. And ones that haven't been for a very long time are appearing. You know, I think people that I haven't seen for like 20 years are showing up. And so I know that I have walked into another reality. And there are infinite realities that we can walk into once we understand that we can, in fact, change our body, mind, and spirit. Actually, it's spirit, I believe. Mind, spirit, and then body. All right, so then it says here, you would sit down and ask yourself, can I really be the man or woman that I vaguely remember who went about under my name 6 months ago, funny, 6 months ago, or 6 years ago, was I really that person? Could that person possibly been I? And the truth would be that while in one sense you are indeed the same person, yet in another sense you will be someone utterly different. This mystic but intensely real force can pick you up today, now, from the mist of failure, ruin, misery, despair, and in twinkling of an eye, as St. Paul said, excuse me, solve your problems, smooth out your difficulties, cut you free from any entanglements, and place you clear, safe, and happy upon the high road of freedom and opportunity. And by the way, I'm reading this without glasses. It's been over a year now, and this is really small print, and I didn't hesitate at all. And I'm not saying that I see perfectly, because when I get into a mindset that reminds me that I used to wear glasses, it gets blurry. So I really haven't transcended yet the idea that I am in perfect vision. But I wanted to state that for myself out loud. All right, so then it says, it can lift you out of an invalid's bed, make you sound and well, wait, so sorry, and now I can't say stop. It can lift you out of an invalid's bed, make you, I guess, sound and well once more, and free to go out into the world to shape your life as you will it. It can throw open the prison door and liberate the captive. It has a magical healing balm for the bruised or broken heart. This mystic power can teach you all things that you need to know if only you are receptive and reachable. And that's what I always say, that in truth, we are the receptive female. And when we understand that the only giver is that this mystical force. So, what do we want to do with that? You know, we've done enough talking. We've done enough following I always see, which I get a kick out of, you know, now John Azareth, whatever his name is, and Joe, whatever the other guy is from The Secret. I can't think of his name now either. And they're still selling their tapes, and they're millionaires, and they got the chains the rappers on their and I'm thinking to myself, you know, when are we going to realize that we have the answer? I have the answers. Not only do I have them for me, I have them for my world, because I am my world. And when I really understand that and stop trying to sell my belief system to anything outside of myself, which is just my daughter-in-law says, who's really not on the wavelength I am, she's just started seeing The Secret, and she believes in, you know, my son is me, so he knows. And he's indoctrinating her in my belief system. And she says, oh, I hope your class is good tonight. I know you need to learn what you need to teach, right? And I was like, oh, that is so cool. But the reality is, it is all about me becoming that which I desire to see. I mean, if we could really conceptualize that we are it, if one could really understand there is nothing to do but be that which you desire to see, could you imagine the power that you walk in? A friend of mine who I know for 20 years, she's just come in my life maybe the last year, she looked in my eyes tonight and she said, do you know? And she looked right in my face and she said, that I can look in your face right now. I could, after 20 years, I could finally look at you. I couldn't before. And it wasn't you, it was me. I was too insecure. The vulnerability, the openness that's coming through me, at me, because I am a receptive vessel for God, for the infinite possibilities, for the infinite flow of divine love. And all I want to do is serve humanity by becoming that which I am. And I'm doing it step by step, feeding the people love through my food, through my designs, through my art, through my dance that I do in the restaurant, to bring people into a state of relaxation and then feeling welcomed and knowing that when they're eating that food, that it's sacred. That food that they're eating is sacred because I'm feeding my family. When those people come to that restaurant, those aspects of me are being fed the love that I feel for God, you know. And there is no personal agenda in this. So, you know, somebody comes in and, you know, I don't have, you know, I only got $6, I know it's $7. Come on, just eat, you know. Well, I don't have much. It doesn't matter. Just eat. You know, I've had everything in the ego world. I've had every car, every relationship, every house, every jewel that I wanted, you know. It's not about this world. It's about coming one with the one and radiating that divine energy. Because, I mean, I sit and in my solitude. I'm very much, after I leave there, I come home. And my dad's in his space, and I'm in my little sanctuary, and there's nothing but stillness. There is no conflict. There is no sound other than what I utter. And that, to me, makes me wonder sometimes. I say, but why am I here? Why am I still here? Because I'm so much alone. And I'm here to become that which I am. I mean, I get like this little tap on my shoulder and says, hey, where are you going? You're not here to do anything. You're here to become that which you are. And when you do, now you understand what you've been speaking all these years, that heaven is here and now. It's not about a destination. No authority beyond me has any power to give me anything. You know, and of course, Miracle says that have no false idols before me, because if you do, they will fall. And each time they do, you will weep, because nothing of this world is anything but what I make it. And when you, and I encourage everyone, like I did with the Bruce Lipton books, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I've read the other books. This book is clearly an example of what I've lived for the last 21 and plus years, because I really believe that just because I wasn't aware that I was doing it, I was still living in a higher state, because I always just manifested everything that I needed and wanted in every moment and with no effort at all. So there was something about me that was receptive more than I could even understand. So let me go back into this little book. All right. So it says here, It can throw open the prison door and liberate the captive. It has a magical healing balm for the bruised or broken heart. This mystic power can teach you all things that you need to know, if only you are receptive and teachable. It can inspire you with new thoughts and ideas so that your world can maybe truly original. It can impart new and wonderful kinds of knowledge as soon as you really want such knowledge, glorious knowledge, strange things not taught in schools or written in books. It can do for you that which is probably the most important thing of all. In your present stage, it can find your true place in life for you and put you into it. You know, I always say that, you know, my life purpose, anybody that knows me in my perceptual reality that is a part of my periphery knows that I feel that my life is about learning how to be in a relationship with me without a male, because males have been my idols. And now it's like I'm so far removed from the neediness that I was, and I see now the possibilities that were always present that I projected on the male to bring back to me to make me feel more female, not realizing that that male was just something in place of me. And now I'm in the process. I did a proposal today for another dream, which is really the dream that I've had for the last year now. And it's like right across the street from where my business is, and I'm going to go for another business, and I don't have a clue. All I know is that it's like what I've really been seeing and vision and feeling as a part of the next stage of what I'm doing. And it's definitely not about the profit of it on any level. It's only about me serving the aspects of me in the highest, because I know that as I am is as I see, and the more that I'm true to the spirit I am, the love I am, the vision I am, the more that my world will be the receptors of that, and that's where the divine union happens, and there's a free flow of absolutely beautiful love. And so that's why I feel now that I'm here. I'm not here for any purpose other than to be fully actualized as Ananda that I am. And Tawanda, I see you, baby, with your little beautiful message for me. And, you know, of course, we know that we are one, all of us. And, you know, I love all you guys. I mean, how could I not, you know? We're all so connected to the source of all being. And I really feel like my purpose has been to redirect my thoughts, those aspects of me that have been wayward, that have thought that, you know what, wait, Ananda, I know you're right, but you're wrong about that. I know you're right, but I got to do that. I know you're right, but you know what, I got to fix that. And I can do that, but I have to do that. And he's wonderful, but you know, she's not. You know, that's all gibberish. There is nothing to do but be. Be loved. And when we really feel that, when we really know that, that's when we become self-realized. And now we don't worry about that because it's already done. We don't think about how that's going to be done because it's already done. Because there is nothing to do. It is all done. Time and space is a silly notion to keep us separate from that which we know is. It's happening simultaneously. It's like one of those rides in that pirate ship as a kid. They used to come on our blocks. Oh, I'll just remember that. Oh, my God. And it was like this portable truck that had this half-moon pirate ship, and you'd pay like $1, and I mean, you would be horrified. You'd sit on the top, and you were like, it turned over, you know? And that's what this is like, you know. It's like a teeter-totter, you know. You can go any way you want. You could go on that side of the road or that side of the street or that side of the vision. But the reality is it's infinite. You don't have to worry about where and when, because it is. And as I remember, as I reestablish an idea, a belief, a feeling, I will see it in my perceptual world. You know, Wayne Dyer always talks about the lemon, the sucking of the lemon in the mind and how you salivate. You know, it's as simple as that. We have to be that which we want to see. There is nothing to attain outside of us, nothing, because there is nothing but what we are. You know, it's all a scrim, and what I, the shadow I am will be made known in my world. So I was brushing my hair earlier and realized that that hairbrush that I brushed my hair with, I remember using at my first wedding. And then when I pulled the hair out of it from a week ago, you know, because I'm always cleaning the hair out of it, I realized I used that at my second wedding. And now here I am, three weddings plus whatever relationship, and I still have that same brush. For some reason, that brush has gone through all of space-time with me and really doesn't look like it's aged much. So there's some high, mighty idea, an ideal that I had for this brush to keep it as beautiful as it is till this day in time. And really, that's all we have to do is take notice of who we really are, of what we really feel, and be certain that what we feel will become known in our perceptual reality. So anytime we feel fear, understand that we are attaching ourselves to a belief system that will come into notice in our reality, that we will see the effects of the fear in our world. And it doesn't take time anymore, because really time is evaporating. Time is really becoming an illusion in my perceptual reality anyway, because things are happening so fast. And be vigilant for the idea that you desire to see in your perceptual reality. And understand that everything is available, good, bad, wonderful, ugly, brutal, glorious. And as soon as I allow my thoughts to take me on that train, whatever that train of thought is and where it takes me will be where I've asked it to take me. And to be clearly aware of that in every moment. The free will is just that. You're infinite, my children. Anything you want is yours for the asking. So be clear about that. I ask and I do receive immediately. And so the whole concept of being thoughtful for you, for love. And again, you know, it's not the thoughts that hold us a prisoner to what was, but it is the projected idea of love first manifested in the mind, and then body tone. The feeling of being loved is the highest vibration that I think I could have, and that's what I feel when I'm serving the food. And that's what I feel when I'm talking to people in my perceptual reality in a gentle, loving, caring way. You know, as I feel that essence of truth and love, my world is dancing. I mean, truly dancing in ecstasy, because they're feeling the love I am. I'm feeling love and seeing love. So I'm going to go back into this for a second, this book, because it's so lovely. The mystic power can teach you all things that you need to know. If only you are receptive and teachable, it can inspire you with new thoughts and ideas, or that your world work may be truly original. It can impact new and wonderful kinds of knowledge. As soon as you really want such knowledge, glorious knowledge, strange things, not taught in schools or written in books, right? We did all this. It can do for you that which is probably the most important thing of all. In your present stage, you can find your true place in life for you and put you into it, too. It can find the right friends for you, kindred spirits who are interested in the same ideas and want the same things that you do. It can provide you with an ideal home, it can furnish you with the prosperity that means freedom, freedom to be and to do and to go as your soul calls. This extraordinary power, mystic though I have rightly called it, is nevertheless very real. No mere imaginary extraction, but actually the most practical thing there is. The existence of the power is already well known to thousands of people in the world today and has been known to certain enlightened souls for tens of thousands of years. This power is really no less than the primal power of being, and to discover that power is the divine birthright of all men. It is your right and your privilege to make your contacts with this power and to allow it to work through your body, mind, and estate so that you need no longer grovel upon the ground amid limitations and difficulties, but can soar up on wings like an eagle to the realm of dominion and joy. And I did see an eagle the other day, which was absolutely divine. I shared it on the Facebook that I had gone to work, and it was really busy, and the kid that delivers to me doesn't have a car. He has a skateboard. So one of the deliveries was really far, and I'm like, I got to take. So while I was doing that, I thought I'd do three, and I never did deliveries before. And as I'm pulling into the parking lot, a bald eagle comes right down near the car, and I got it. Because I'm a multitasker. I don't allow the idea of age or female, you know, experience and as who I am or you know, whatever at all to limit me. Eagle just shows up and says, "You are crowned, baby. You know who you are." And, of course, all of this is just a performance for me to keep reminding me. There's signposts all over the place to show me my strength in the knowing that I am one with the one, or my weakness in bringing me into the frailty of being, or the circumstances that call me, that I call, you know, me a victim, or that, you know, bring me into a state of fear. And I talk to people about this all the time because I really see it, those aspects of me that, you know, there's one man that comes in that I know for a really long time. I know from a lot of the classes I used to be in. And, you know, he's like, "But you don't understand, Ananda. I'm into Zen and all that stuff, but you don't realize this is different. This guy, you know, he didn't do the right thing by me, and that's why my business." And I'm like, "Wait, stop. Stop. You know, I'm not going there. I love you. I'm not taking you, allowing you to take me where you are." And it happens all day long, and it happens usually in the most subtle of ways. And you see yourself being pulled into that mindset, and then you become a victim to that energy. And now you're all bets are off because now you're not on your own stage. You're not in your focal point. You're in another illusion of what was. And, of course, Miracle says you're never upset for what you think you are. So you're called into an energy that's not congruent with what you want. And you know you are, which is divine love. So, and I always share that train concept. When I was a little girl, 12 years old, I remember taking my little cousins, who I adored. Mother was not available, and I was always babysitting for them. And I was taking them to the Bronx Zoo, and I get on the train with these little four angels. I'm 12, one's 10, one's 8, one's 5, one's 4. And I'm holding them like they're my little checks, you know, and going on the train, and we get off on a neighborhood that wasn't a nice neighborhood at the time. It was racist. We were, you know, we were in a different world. And as soon as we got off the train, we were told, get out of here, we'll kill you. And I was like, oh, my God. And I get back on the train, and I go back, calm the kids down, and we get to our destination. And that's exactly what happens. You know, we're on course. We're heading in a direction. And something comes along, and we get off that train. And if we don't get back on the right train, we get lost in the city. And then we're a victim to circumstances, you know. And that's why I always say to people, if you're pointing outward, realize that you just then just said to that person or that thing, "You have my power. You have my breath. Take it." Very easy, especially when you're in a la-la land like I am most of the time. I'm so into love. And I could easily not realize, because I think I'm being loving, and then I catch myself seeing the victimized energy coming forth at me and saying, I need you. Please help me. And I look, and it might as well be the devil. It might as well be the evil one or the friggin' viper or the, you know, whatever. Because at that point, I'm captive. I'm in that illusion. And if I pay it any mind, I then become the victim of that circumstance. Those circumstances. The victim is the perpetrator. It just reverses roles. And this is all happening in the mind. This is all thought forms. This is all feeling tones. And because we were separated from the one and was born through the female, through the male and the female aspect called the body, we were taught to be separated from our true essence. We're taught to disassociate from love, to be in fear, to be in pain, to be in suffering. And that's the easy way out for most because they think that's the way it's supposed to be. So when you become self-realized and truly are all about self-inquiry, you don't allow yourself to be taken where you aren't, where you don't want to be, where you know is not where you are. And that's why I always say that in the Jesus scenario, that the Pharisees of the thoughts that have gone astray, the thoughts that take us into the stations of the cross, that truly make us a prisoner, and then finally we die in that circumstance, and we have to be reborn, or we just keep coming again in the same scenario with different masks and different players and different props. But until we really get that all of that is just not real, we keep getting caught in it. So my dream is about being lucid, especially now. I really feel that in time space, I've come here to reestablish who I am as the one. And that as I do, I know that everyone in my perceptual reality will get it as well, because I can only see what I am in every moment. So I'm going to read a little bit more about this. All right, so it says, but where, it will naturally be asked, is this wonderful mystic power to be contacted? Where may we find it, and how is it brought into action? The answer is perfectly simple. This power is to be found within your own consciousness, the last place that most people would look for it. Right within your own mentality that lies a source of energy stronger than electricity, more potent than high explosive, unlimited, and inexhaustible. You only need to make conscious contact with this power to set it working in your affairs, and all the marvelous results enumerated can be yours. This is the real meaning of such sayings in the Bible as the kingdom of God is within you, and seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the rest shall be added. This indwelling power, the inner light or spiritual idea, is spoken of in the Bible as a child, and throughout the scripture, the child symbolically always stands for this. Bible symbolism has its own beautiful logic, and just as the soul is always spoken of as a woman, so this, the spiritual idea that is born in the soul, is described as a child. The conscious discovery by you that you have the power within you and your determination to make use of it, birth of the child, and it is easy to see how very apt this symbol is. For the infant that is born in consciousness is just such a weak, feeble entity as any newborn child, and it calls for the same careful nursing and guarding that any infant does in the earliest days. After a time, however, as the weeks go by, the child grows stronger and bigger until a time comes when it can well take care of itself. And that's what I feel that I am doing right now. I feel like I'm finally taking care of myself spiritually. I feel like that there is a power in me that knows now that I can be with one with the one, that I don't have to look to outside forces for anything. And in the Course, it says, be like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Of course, it says that in the Bible as well. To be like a child, what would that feel like if you were truly the heir to the kingdom of heaven and that you knew that the infinite field of everything has no other intent but to bring you everything that would bring you to the highest joy within you? Could you at any point in your existence be unhappy? Could you be sick? Could you be lonely? Could you be in fear? If you could really conceptualize that you truly are the heir to all that is, that when you walk into a building, that that building is in fact yours. And if you went for that job interview, that you were truly being interviewed by God himself. You know, I get these flashes sometimes. I really feel like, oh, my God, this is such an illusion. I have this beautiful idea about this big Rolls Royce. I've never had a desire for that kind of car. I've had a lot of beautiful cars that I dreamed to have, but I never really felt it because, you know, for me, a Rolls Royce has always been like a chauffeur car or male energy. And I said, I would love to just be able to be strongly positive and creative enough to be able to drive brand new Rolls Royce for me. And I turned my head yesterday and a beautiful, brand new white Rolls Royce had passed by. And I said, that was just as powerful a vision as having the eagle show up in my life. Because it was a sign that I am becoming all that I am. Not about stuff. It's not about anything outside of me. But these are like little markers for us. Because it's such a personal relationship. For each one of the ones in perceptual reality has its own symbology to remind it of its true state of kingship or queenship, you know? And for me, that little symbol called an eagle and that little symbol called that white, absolutely gorgeous new Rolls Royce was just a metaphor to show me that I am seeing it in my perceptual reality. Something in me must be feeling it because I can't see it if I don't feel it. I can't see it if I don't be it. So I really think that that's really a powerful, at least for me, metaphor for one coming to their own. All right, it says, the indwelling power, the inner light or spiritual idea is spoken in the Bible. Okay, we did all that as a child. And then it says, the conscious discovery for you that you have the power within you and your determination to make use of it is the birth of the child. And it is easy to see how very apt that symbol is in an infant that is born in consciousness and is just as weak, feeble entity as any newborn child, and it calls for the same careful nursing and guarding that any infant does in the early stages. After a time, however, as the weeks go by, the child gets stronger and bigger, which I feel I am, until a time comes when it can well take care of itself, and then it grows and grows in wisdom and stature until no longer leaning on the mother's care. The child now arrives. Let me just turn the page. Doesn't sound like the truth. Now arrived at man's estate, turns the tables and repays its debts by taking over the care of its mother. So your ability to contact the mystic power within yourself, frail and feeble at first, will gradually develop until you find yourself permitting that power to take your whole life into its care. The life story of Jesus, the central figure of the Bible, perfectly dramatizes this truth. He is described as being born of a virgin and in a poor stable, and we know how he grew up to be the savior of the world. Now, in Bible symbolism, the virgin soul means the soul that looks to God alone. I believe that. And it is this condition of soul in which the child or spiritual idea comes to birth. It is when we have reached this stage, the stage where either through wisdom or because of suffering, we are prepared to put God really first, that the things happen. The Christ child was born in a stable, though all the world had anticipated that when he arrived, it would be in a palace. And we deeply appreciate the significance of this point as soon as the Holy Child comes to birth in our own soul. For with the natural consciousness of our own unworthiness, we feel only too keenly that once more he is indeed being born in a stable. Here we have the inspired intimation that this fact will not prevent his growing up to be the savior of our own individual world. Neville Goddard, one of my teachers from very, very long time ago, talks about us being Jesus, us being the Christ child, which is so clearly connected with what's being said here. Here we have the inspired... The Bible directly and indirectly has a good deal to say on the subject of the birth and growth of the child and what it can mean for us. One of the most significant pronouncements on this subject is given in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7, and it will amply repay us to consider the statement in some detail. As Isaiah says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. This is a marvelous description of what happens. One moment. Spiritual idea, the child is born to the soul, walking in darkness, moral or physical, dwelling in the land of the shadow of death, the death of joy or hope or even self-respect, describes well the condition of many people before this light shines into their weary, heartbroken lives, and in the prophet rises into a person of exalted joy as he contemplates the deliverance wrought by the mystic power. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This description begins by giving the gist of the whole matter simply and concisely, that the government is to be upon his shoulder. This really covers the whole business. Correctly understood, this statement tells the entire story without need of any further comment. It means that once you have contacted the mystical power within and have allowed it to take over your responsibilities for you, it will direct and govern all your affairs from the greatest to the least without trouble to you. The government shall be upon his shoulder. You are tired and driven and worried and weak and ill and depressed because you have been trying to carry the government upon your own shoulder. The burden is too much for you, and you have broken down under it. Now, immediately, you hand over your self-government, that it is the burden of making a living or of healing your body or erasing your mistakes to the child. He is the tireless one, the all-powerful, the all-wise, the all-resourceful, as it assumes with joy, and your difficulties have seen the beginning of the end. The prophet next goes on to speak of the name of the child, and if we know something of Bible symbolism, we know that we are now going to learn something fundamental. Thanks for hanging in with me, because this is really powerful. For in the Bible, the name of anything means the character or nature of that thing, and so we realize that a name is not merely an arbitrary label, but actually a hieroglyphic of the soul. We are given no less than five names or qualities of the child. Let us examine them and see what they tell us. First of all, Isaiah says that the name of the child is wonderful, and this is, in fact, the first and the outstanding quality. The child is a wonder child. There's only 5 minutes, I'm going to stop there because I really feel that I think we got the gist of it. I can finish this next time. But what I really feel more than anything is that a lot of people in my perceptual reality for the last, last 10 years that have come so far in their evolution are going back to sleep. And the few that are coming up as they are in remembrance of what they've been carrying, the burden they've been carrying, called mommy not loving me, called somebody abusing me, called me feeling not worthy, called whatever. The few that are releasing the burden will come to remember that they are that wonder child. And that, to me, is the only reason to be conscious in this reality. Everything that is not about consciousness is about illusion. And the illusions will come to pass, and everyone eventually will wake up and maybe go back to sleep again. But for me, I really feel so close to awakening in the dream and reconstructing and reliving the truth of my being, which is that I am one with the infinite field of potential, that in me is a source that is far greater than anything that I could ever imagine with my perceptual mind and that I could ever feel with my perceptual heart. And I know that when I truly allow it to take over in every moment, it is a divine experience, that there is no doubt that my physical could not have made that happen. And that when I really allow the flow, the God I am, to be in charge, and I become the receptive child that is dependent upon that to give me all, it's definitely the state of heaven here on earth. And so I came into this experience tonight to speak out loud, as I always do, so I can recapitulate in me that remembrance that I am one with God, that I am one with the infinite state of love, and that when I remember that, it is a divine union, the Father and the Child, one. And so that's what I want to leave everyone that's here tonight with, the remembrance that in you is the power to transcend any limitation, transcend any idea that brings you into a state of less than you are, whether we call it disease or age or poverty or loneliness or sorrow or fear, that in you power to transcend it all. And to remember that is the key to the kingdom. And so, you know, I love you all. I love you all. I really and truly feel loved. And my intent is to stay loved so that everybody in my world feels loved. Have a beautiful rest of the night. And until we meet again, be loved. Good night.